This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 43 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. When you look at things from a human perspective, fantasy football actually sucks. Spencer Ware went down with an injury on Friday, and the first reaction for many, including myself, was, I wonder how long he'll be out, or, man, I'm glad I drafted Kareem Hunt. Like, I got mentions on Twitter congratulating me on my touting of Kareem Hunt this offseason. No, guys, no. That's not how this works. Sure, part of Kareem Hunt's upside was that he wasn't just going to have standalone value and potentially take over that backfield at some point. He was a handcuff as well. I get that. But the reason I liked Hunt wasn't because I was rooting for an injury to happen to Spencer Ware. This is the absolute worst part of fantasy football. A man blew out his knee and literally everyone doesn't care about the man himself. They're worried about their fantasy football teams. Granted, the positives of fantasy football certainly outweigh the negatives. I don't actually hate fantasy football, but I do hate when stuff like this happens. Nevertheless, the analysis has to happen and we've got to evaluate what's to come. I'll be talking about Kareem Hunt on today's show that features 10 bold predictions for the upcoming season, because this seems to be like the perfect time to talk about bold predictions. Next week is the first prep week for the regular season, so I'll be on more of a methodical schedule. This week, let's get a little takey. But before talking about the bold predictions, I wanted to send a quick note that with the NFL season just around the corner, remember that you can catch all the games on TuneIn and the TuneIn app. At home or on the go, listen to the home call of every game live, or pop in and out of the action every Sunday with NFL First and Goal. That's TuneIn's audio red zone station. Download the TuneIn app today and listen to the NFL for free for 30 days. TuneIn is your everything audio app. Now let's get into some of these bold predictions. I said I was going to talk about Kareem Hunt, and that is the first bold prediction. I think that Kareem Hunt is going to be the top fantasy football rookie running back this season. I tweeted this stance after I learned that Spencer Ware was probably going to miss the entire season, and people were actually shocked by it. But I actually think it's pretty logical, and I have Hunt ranked as the top rookie running back right now. I wrote an article on this on NumberFire and talked about how there are five questions that you should ask when determining the potential of a running back in fantasy football. Does the running back have competition? Is the running back an early down running back? Is the running back going to see goal line work? Is the running back going to see passing down work? And is the running back in a good offense? When you ask those questions, Kareem Hunt easily looks like the best among all rookie running backs. Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey have potential goal line woes with Latavius Murray, Cam Newton, and Jonathan Stewart in their ways. Leonard Fournette's not the receiving back in his offense, that's TJ Yeldon. And his offense in general is probably going to be awful. I mean, guys, the Jags haven't scored double-digit rushing touchdowns since Blake Bortles became the starter because of all the negative game scripts that they see. And Joe Mixon is battling it out right now in a committee, and Jeremy Hill looks like the goal line guy. The lead running back in rushing market share in Andy Reid's offenses since Andy Reid became head coach in Kansas City have been used very, very heavily in the passing game, ranking in the top 25 at the position in target market share each year while seeing more than 7% of the team's targets. Hunt is set up to be the goal line back with little competition, and for those reasons, I think he'll be the top rookie running back in fantasy football this year. And yes, I do say that with a smile on my face. The next bold prediction is that Marshawn Lynch will rush for fewer than 700 yards this season. The last time Marshawn Lynch carried the football in an NFL game, Kareem Hunt wasn't even born. No, that's a lie. But it was November of 2015. Now Marshawn's 31 years old. Yes, he's in a good offensive situation, but he wasn't the same running back that we've seen in years past the last time that we saw him. He had just a 41.44% success rate, or the percentage of positive expected points runs made by a running back. This was back in 2015, which is a little above the league's average, but it's far below where Lynch has been the 3 years prior. And it's already been reported that he could see fewer than 200 carries this year. And if that happens, then he'll need to see a yards per attempt average well north of 4.0 to hit 800 yards. And then when you factor in injury and the probability of having an injury, especially for a 31-year-old running back who hasn't played in a year and a half, it's easy to see how Lynch could fail to reach even 700 yards this year. The next one is that Eric Ebron is going to finish as a top five tight end. I've talked about Ebron a lot on this podcast, but as I've said, even while scoring just one receiving touchdown last year, he still finished with more top 12 performances in PPR formats than all but seven tight ends. I get it, it was a down year for tight ends, but at the very, very least, he was a high-end tight end too. At the very least. The biggest reason that he could become more than that this year is because Anquan Boldin's gone. Last season, Boldin finished second in red zone targets in all of football, and he was third in targets from within the opponent's 10-yard line. Boldin was also seventh in slot snap percentage among wideouts with 50 or more targets last year. That's a big, big deal because Ebron will be lined up in that area of the field this season. I get that it's a lot easier said than done, but all Eric Ebron needs to do is find the end zone more than he has throughout his career. With a conscious effort on the Lions' part in the departure of Boldin, I think it's very, very possible that this is the year that Eric Ebron puts it all together. Carlos Hyde will outscore Lamar Miller. Bill O'Brien, over this offseason, noted that the Texans relied too much on Lamar Miller, especially early on during that 2016 campaign. So what did they do in turn? They went out and they drafted the big-bodied Deontay Foreman, a running back, in the third round of the NFL draft. I mean, look at what Lamar Miller did last season. He had 268 carries, and he saw more than 200 carries for just the second time in his career. His other career high before last season was 215 carries. He was worked to death, and he was worked far more than he had been worked before. And he was not very effective. His 35.45% success rate not only was the lowest of his career, but it was the lowest on the Texans last year as well. I think that Foreman could potentially dig into Lamar Miller's workload, and given his body type, Foreman's body type, he could see the high leverage touches near the goal line. So there's a chance that Miller is overvalued in fantasy football right now. On the flip side of this argument, you've got Carlos Hyde. The 49ers are not going to be very good offensively this year, but with that being said, Hyde has been the best running back on this team in terms of success rate every year that he's been in the league. And just last season, only 10 running backs had more top 24 PPR performances, and only 7 had more top 12 ones when you exclude week 17 than Carlos Hyde. Hyde even missed a pair of games during the fantasy season, and that still happened. Head coach Kyle Shanahan will fit his offense around the skill set of his personnel. That's really, really important. We saw him do that in Cleveland in 2014 as the team ran for 5 more touchdowns than they threw for, with, by the way, Brian Hoyer under center. Now, granted, the Browns were fortunate to have a much better defense than what San Francisco's going to have, which created a lot of positive game scripts. But if Shanahan does indeed mold this offense around his studs, and there's no reason to think that he won't, then Hyde will be a key feature in this offense. Carlos Hyde is a very, very good running back, and I do think that he can very easily outscore Lamar Miller this season. I haven't been very high in the Rams offense, and this next one is that Sammy Watkins will fail to score 5 touchdowns. Like I've said before, you could argue that there's no place that's worse to showcase Sammy Watkins' ability than in LA. Last season, Jared Goff was dead last in the league in air yards per attempt, and over the last 2 seasons, Watkins has averaged over 14 air yards per reception. Of the 178 50-plus target wide receiver seasons over this time, Watkins rates ranked 4th and 5th highest. Like I said in the podcast last week, there are plenty of reasons to believe that Jared Goff will improve. But we also know that huge turnarounds don't happen very often. When you combine this with a commitment to the run game in Los Angeles, passing touchdowns just might be tough to come by. And that's going to hurt Watkins dramatically. This next one's one of my favorite ones. It's that Willie Snead will finish with more receptions than Jarvis Landry this season. I talked about last week how Landry is an overrated asset in fantasy football. He finished 2016 with 94 receptions, but after that Jay Ajayi breakout, accumulating those catches was not easy. From weeks 1 through 5, Landry averaged 6.80 receptions per game, which paced him to nearly 109 catches on the year. After Ajayi's week 6 breakout game, though, Landry's catches per contest fell to 5.45, and he caught 4 or fewer passes in 5 of his final 11 games. A big, big reason for this is because Miami became a more run-heavy team. Through week 5 of last year, Miami was the 8th most pass-friendly team in the NFL. After week 5, again, this is after the Ajayi breakout, only Dallas and Buffalo were more run-heavy than Miami. That changed Landry's volume as he averaged over 2 fewer targets per game in this new split. Meanwhile, Willie Snead could and should be in store for more looks this year with Brandon Cooks now in New England. Instead of dealing with Cooks for targets, he's dealing with Ted Ginn. I understand the concerns surrounding Willie Snead. In the preseason, he's not running in two wide receiver sets. That could be limiting for the slot receiver, but it should be noted that New Orleans ran three wide sets at the seventh highest rate in the NFL last year. And head coach Sean Payton also is known for rotating his skill players in and out of games. For instance, Cooks was first on the team in wide receiver snap rate last year, but he ranked 33rd in the NFL within that statistic. And for the record, Snead tallied just 13 fewer targets. So overall, if Jarvis Landry continues at his second half reception pace, he could see between 80 to 90 catches this year. So let's just pretend that he hits, say, 85. At Snead's career near 69% nice catch rate, he'll need 124 targets to hit that 85 reception mark. I think that's totally doable in this Saints offense. This next one is that Tevin Coleman will score fewer than half the touchdowns that he scored last year. To put it simply, Coleman had very unsustainable touchdown production last year. An average running back in the NFL rushed for a touchdown on every 31.54 carries and for every 131 rushing yards in 2016. Coleman's rates were 14.75 carries per touchdown and 65 rushing yards per touchdown. Among the 270 100-plus attempt running back seasons over the last 6 years, Coleman's attempts per touchdown and rushing yards per touchdown rates were 5th and 2nd lowest, or 5th and 2nd most extreme. And then through the air, Coleman scored 3 more times while averaging 13.58 yards per reception. Over this same time period, the last 6 years, we've had 374 running back seasons where the back saw 20 or more targets. Coleman's 2016 ranks 4th highest in yards per reception. Say it with me, guys. Unsustainable. Regression is going to hit this entire Falcons offense, and that definitely includes Tevin Coleman. And I don't think it's crazy to think that Tevin Coleman may score only 5 touchdowns this season. The next one I have down is that Kenny Britt will outscore DeSean Jackson. Look, the bottom line with this particular bold prediction is volume. There's a worry that DeSean Jackson doesn't see as many looks as his average draft position might suggest, especially when you consider how run-heavy the Buccaneers were when they started winning games last year. Because remember, after they started 3-5, they had a 1.52 drop back to run ratio. But from there on out, during the stretch where they were 6-2, that dropped to 1.20. That's literally what fueled Mike Evans' dip in production over the second half of the season. So if Tampa Bay continues their winning ways and they play more of a conservative offense, Jackson, even with a relatively decent market share, could see fewer than 100 targets in that offense. I think he's amazing from a real football standpoint. I think he's going to help the Bucs offense tremendously. But from a fantasy football standpoint, I'm not that into DeSean Jackson this year. Kenny Britt, on the other hand, could be in store for a lot of targets, especially if the Browns see a lot of negative game scripts. And there's not that much competition for volume in that Browns offense. Corey Coleman missed some time this offseason with a hamstring injury. They've got inexperienced tight ends, and they're moving a running back, Duke Johnson, to a slot role. Like Terrell Pryor last season, Kenny Britt could be fed. And we've seen him be somewhat relevant in fantasy football with a bad or below average offense. Last season with the Rams, he tied for 22nd with 5 top 24 performances. And I do think that DeShone Kizer is an upgrade over rookie Jared Goff, especially when you consider that Kenny Britt can get down the field. If there's a 30-target discrepancy between DeShone Jackson and Kenny Britt, which is entirely possible given their situations on their teams, then I think that it's also entirely possible that Kenny Britt outscores DeShone Jackson straight up this year. This next one is probably the boldest of all the takes, and it's that D'Angelo Henderson will lead the Denver Broncos in rushing. The Broncos' depth chart at running back features a ton of question marks. You have CJ Anderson, who's going to begin the season as the starter, but he's failed to stay healthy throughout his career, and he's been a pretty meh running back over the last 2 seasons. His success rate during his big 2014 breakout campaign was unbelievable at 46.93%, but since then, that's fallen to 37.5%, and 39.09% over the last 2 years. Those are both below average numbers. So let's not pretend that we've got a huge sample size of CJ Anderson being a stud running back. And then there's Devontae Booker. He finished his rookie year with a 3.52 yards per carry average and a success rate of 36.21%. Again, just to reiterate, an average success rate in the NFL, according to NumberFire's metrics, usually hovers around the 40% mark. So sure, maybe this is an offensive line thing, and I'm certain that's part of it. But there's also a chance that Anderson and Booker are not top-notch starters. And then there's Jamaal Charles. I'm not that into Jamaal Charles because Jamaal Charles is old and has bad knees. When we're talking about a fantasy football asset, it's not good when the description could be used for your grandparents. So that leaves us with D'Angelo Henderson. He's a sixth round selection in this year's draft out of Coastal Carolina. He has a good production profile. It was epic against, yes, bad competition. Ranked in the 94th percentile, his production profile did. He had a strong combine. He ran a sub 4.5 40 at 208 pounds. It's not as hard as you might think to see a player like D'Angelo Henderson making his way onto the field in Denver. And if he does, there's a chance that he just runs away with the job and then leads the team in rushing. I feel obligated to say this last bold prediction, and it's that Kenny Golladay, aka Babytron, will be the top scoring rookie wide receiver in fantasy football this year. I think the Lions are set up for the most success by putting Golladay in the X, Marvin Jones as a flanker, and Golden Tate in the slot. If that happens, Golladay will be on the field a decent bit this season. And at 6'4", 218 pounds, he could also be a big red zone threat for Matthew Stafford. I think it's very easy to think that Corey Davis or Zay Jones will rank ahead of Kenny Golladay, but I do think, aside from Zay Jones, I do think that Kenny Golladay could see the most volume among all rookie wide receivers this season. That's it for the bold predictions, though. I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. If you liked this episode and the others that I've been producing, do me a favor and hit subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn, or Google Play. And remember, if you go to iTunes and you leave a review, you'll be placed in the drawing to win a free NumberFire premium subscription for a year. I'll be announcing the two winners next week, so get on that this week. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll be back in your ears on Friday with a mailbag episode.